this session on learning to listen, on prayer and meditation would be useful in each one of our lives. And Lord, you know the things we desire. You know the things we struggle with. And you know what's to come, what trials are around the bend in our families, in our relationships, our ministries, our personal lives. You know our secret concerns, the secret anxieties of our hearts, Lord. And Father, you know the glorious future that your word tells us about, the coming kingdom. So Lord, please give us a vision of things as you see them. Cause us to understand and lead us in these next few minutes as we consider this topic of meditation and prayer and hearing your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought we would start this session with Psalm 27, a psalm that means a lot to me. I remember discovering it when I was living in France years ago, back in the 90s. And I remember reading it and not wanting to stop. I just kind of kept reading it and kept reading it. And until I think parts of it just took root in my heart. And I wanted to focus on part of the psalm right now. But let's start with verse 1. I'm just going to read through it till we get to the part where we'll stop. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Has anyone ever claimed this promise or recited this verse during a time of darkness? I have many times. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. This next part has often been a source of strength to me as well. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I'm going to read the next one, but we'll focus on verse 4. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, his tent, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. This is too good to stop now. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Has anyone ever claimed this verse? It's a great verse to claim. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. I like the Amplified. It says, then the Lord will take me up, adopt me as his child. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path, a plain path, because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I love this next one. I would have fainted, I would have lost heart, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many have claimed this verse? It's amazing, isn't it? I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, or hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I mean, that could be the whole session right there. I could say, like, okay, everybody, just read Psalm 27 for the next 40 minutes and have a great convention. Okay, back to verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord. I just wrote a little note. Prayer and meditation starts with desire. Prayer and meditation starts with desire. Or you could say it starts with a dream. I remember I wanted to go to Finland about 5 or 6 years ago for the summer conference, and I called the missions office and I asked Pirjo for some information. I said, Pirjo, we don't have plans. We're kind of dreaming. And then she said, well, it starts with a dream. And I thought, yeah, it does. Prayer and meditation starts with a desire. It starts with a dream. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. One thing. What does that remind us of? One thing. Remember when Mary was kneeling at the feet of Jesus and Martha was complaining and she was all fidgety and flustered and nervous and wanted to be Martha Stewart? If you're not from the United States, Martha Stewart is this woman who does everything so perfectly she couldn't possibly be human. And she probably has millions of servants, but makes it seem like she does it all. Anyway, Martha wanted to be like that. And Jesus said, one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. That's in Luke 10, verse 42. One thing is needed. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, focused on him despite the craziness, and she was receiving from him. I love that image because there was all this legitimate stuff to be done, and at that moment, Mary didn't care. She knew what she needed. She made the priority to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, to be receiving from his word. And when I wrote down this verse, when I was preparing for this this workshop, it reminded me also of the passage in Malachi 3 and verse 16. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. For those who fear the Lord and for who thought upon his name. That's Malachi 3:16. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Those are the gold and the silver and the precious stones that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that will survive the fire of God's holiness at the judgment that we call the judgment seat of Christ, or we could also call it the Bema seat. The things that will not be taken from us. It's amazing. In a sense, our whole life, we can have this goal in life that we will have more in eternity. I don't mean more stuff, but I mean more in us. That which passes through the fire of God's holiness and survives, that which was really done by faith and that which was really eternal, will somehow be glorified and resurrected at the judgment seat of Christ. It's an incredible thing. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. And you can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's around verse 13 where it talks about how all our works will be made manifest. If anyone's work abides, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned, it shall be taken away, but he shall be saved, but so as by fire. The next part of this verse, that will I seek after. That will I seek. Look for a way, I wrote in my notes. Look for a way. Look for a way to pray and look for a way to meditate. Look for a place to pray and a place to meditate. For some people, this is the best. I'll show you. This is a method. Okay, that's off in a way. For some people, it's walking. How many like to walk and pray? I love this. Except I don't like to walk and pray with my dog. I'm serious. We got this dog in March. Well, my family got a dog in March while I was at Eurocon. Do you think that was sneaky? I actually found the dog, but they went to get him while I was at Eurocon. And I don't know what it is. Maybe he needs obedience lessons, but he's like pokey. Remember that golden book, The Pokey Little Puppy? I have trouble meditating when my dog's like, and then he stops, and then he won't heal anyway. For me, it's hard to pray walking my dog, but I know that people pray walking their dogs because they probably have these really obedient dogs. I know someone who prays in bed. Seriously, that's their place. They love to pray and they feel safe, they feel secure, they feel ready. That's their place to pray. I remember Pastor Anderson saying in Bible school, if you're going to study and you're a tired person, don't ever study in your bedroom. Don't study at your friend's dorm because you'll be asleep within moments. He used to always say, study in the library in the most uncomfortable chair you can find. Because then even if you fall asleep, it's not going to last more than 9 or 10 minutes. And then you're ready to study. So some people pray in bed. Some people pray and study in a very uncomfortable chair. That's where I like to sit when I'm fasting, in a really uncomfortable place. Because you know how you're fasting and you're tired and you're feeling kind of vulnerable and you're near a bed or a couch? Forget it. It's like if I'm going to fast, let's say I have an hour and I'm at home, I like to find like a place like that. Like just sit there. Like this. Because even if you nod off, what happens? Like, you're not going to sleep because you'll get a stiff neck. And then these are just practical situations of prayer. I know someone who asked Pastor Stevens years ago about, is it possible to develop a prayer life on the subway? And this was at a rap session. And I think we were in Azerbaijan and the person was from Moscow and he had a really long commute. And I judged him in my heart when he asked that question. I thought, come on, can't he just like pray when he wakes up? Like, does he really have to wait till he gets on the subway? And I remember Pastor Stevens was very compassionate, considering like how long this guy's commute probably was and his family life. And I remember him thinking about it and him saying, yes, I'm sure it's possible. So that could be a place. A commute could be a place. I remember once there was, I mentioned this in an offering, I think, there was this patient from the United Arab Emirates and someone was saying how he had stopped driving his car. Now he had a driver to take him from his home, very wealthy man, to his work. And then I said, oh yeah, since I've been taking the bus, I feel the same. It's great. I can just like read my Bible. And then everybody started laughing at the comparison between me on the bus, you know, and him in a smooth car. But the bus can be a phenomenal place to pray. A train can be a great place to pray. It might be hard driving, because if you really get into your prayer, you might go off the road. A place is really, really important. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. To dwell is the word yashab in the Hebrew. It means to remain, to sit, to abide. To remain, to sit, and abide. There's an old song, sweet hour of prayer. Hour, sweet hour. Not many people would put sweet hour and prayer together, right? Because for many, it's like a foreboding subject. Prayer is scary. What am I going to say to God for an hour? Bless mom, bless dad, bless my brother, bless my sister, bless my dog, bless Aunt Millie's sister, bless Aunt Millie's sister-in-law, bless the sister-in-law of the sister-in-law of Aunt Millie. Now what do I do? But prayer could be a lot better than that, or maybe a lot deeper than that. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In my notes I wrote, in every season, from youth through old age. There's no station in life, no lot in life, and no season in life where prayer should be any less powerful, victorious, and effective than another. That's what's so amazing about prayer. Ephesians 3 tells us that we have boldness and access with confidence to Jesus Christ. We have an open heaven. There's an open tabernacle. The presence of God is available to us. Prayer is amazing. And we can have as much of God as we desire in the sense that we render ourselves available to Him and to His presence. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty. Isaiah 53, verse 2b. He has no form nor comeliness when we see Him. There is no beauty that we should desire Him. Have you ever seen Jesus in the Jesus movies? Doesn't He always look like so, like noble and godlike and perfect? Yeah. He has no form or comeliness that we should desire Him. What's beautiful about Him? Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Isn't that the beautiful thing? It's the holiness. It's not the appearance. In our society, modern society, not just the United States, but we're very focused on the outward. And the Lord is saying, the kingdom of God is within you. He had no form or comeliness. There was no beauty that we should desire Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty. And when I was thinking about beauty, I was thinking about focus, and it reminded me of Matthew 6, verse 22. Here's the Amplified. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, the King James Bible in English says, if your eye is single, correct? The New King James says, if your eye is good. I like the Amplified translation, if your eye is clear. What is the French? Does the French say simple? If your eye is simple? Yeah. Absence of clutter. Does anyone in this room get nervous from clutter? Does anyone get nervous like when you walk home and there's clutter? That can happen in prayer and meditation too. What are some of the things that clutter the eyes of our heart that prevent us from seeing God? I wrote some very practical ones, and you might identify with some of these. The phone, TV, the news, Facebook, Twitter, projections, guilt, texting, your friend texting, people you don't know texting, work, anxiety from work, pets, my dog Snickers. Babies, kids, schedules, hobbies, snacks. Did anyone see the movie War Room? At one point she's, I think, eating Doritos in her prayer closet. It wasn't a very successful prayer session. Sports. I put sports, I was just thinking of things that take a lot of time. A lot of things can get in the way of our prayer time. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. One thing. First things first. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. To inquire, to seek, to consider, to reflect, to inquire. To seek, to consider, to reflect. It's the word bakar in the Hebrew. I wrote, considering trends in the church and coming to God in intercession, sometimes God indicates things to us. Sometimes we notice things in a friend's life. Maybe it's someone we don't know well. We just know them from the assembly. We see them, we greet each other, but we don't know them well. But we discern. We come to God in prayer. To inquire in his temple, to speak to God, to ask him, to bring things before him. I put Facebook earlier, and I think I had that on my heart because I've seen some situations in the past where someone is a believer and they're going through a trial, a huge trial. And I've seen them pour out their heart on Facebook, almost as if somehow the God of Facebook, of the cosmos, is going to swoop in and solve their situation. Or maybe people will read it and come and save the day. But Psalm 62 says, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart before him. Facebook isn't the place to pour out our heart before God. Social media. We pour out our hearts before the living God. I was thinking about worship. The first mention of it is with Abraham and Isaac. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And what was that worship to be? It was to be a burnt offering. It was to be a burnt offering. When we come to God quietly in prayer, when we come to God quietly to meditate on his word, there is a clamoring of the flesh. You know the expression, all hell breaks loose? You know, we often say it in English, all hell broke loose when I tried to do that. It's true. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The enemy detests our prayers because our prayers are effective. The fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, has great effectiveness. One prayer can have unbelievable results. And I've often seen in my life, I think from the early years of my Christianity and right through now, very often I have something on my heart and I'm praying to God and I'm begging for his help. And it seems to me that the prayer is, first of all, not heard by God, or if he did hear it, he didn't care. I'm often given a very different report than what I hope to hear. And then it's like 5 years later, 10 years later, I realize that my very prayer was answered. God just wouldn't let me know about it. And the devil would like to take what seems like silence from God as an accusation to cause us to be discouraged, that we will stop praying. Because Satan knows how effective prayer is in the body of Christ. If we would take things to God in prayer instead of just talking with our neighbor, talking with our friends, speaking naturally, the wonders God could do. The prayer warrior has great authority. And it's amazing ministry. I think Pastor Mati said in a message some years ago, the wonderful thing about our ministry in prayer is that no one else has access to it and no one else has control over it. It's completely between God and us. And it can be as wonderful as, I won't say as wonderful as we desire, but we can experience wonders in prayer as we make ourselves available to God. Genesis 24:6, then the man, Abram's servant, bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. It seems that maybe that was quick. Maybe he wasn't in a situation where he could go off somewhere. It was just a quick bowing of his head and worshiping. And then in verse 52, bowing himself to the earth, he worshiped the Lord. Sometimes that's our prayer. Has anyone ever had that kind of prayer where you're prostrate on the ground? I remember one of those when God met me there. Just literally on the ground. Like, Lord, this isn't working. I really, really, really need your help right now. I remember one time it was a work situation and I was on my face in our little apartment when we first moved here. And I remember another time my kids were really small and I was just very frustrated in my heart. And I remember saying, God, like, nothing is right. Nothing is right. And I had the impression that God said, but I am. Not right in the sense that you're wrong and I'm right, but in the sense that, like, God was saying, I'm straight. Like, any aligning that has to happen will come from me. Like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. We keep coming back to God in prayer. Joshua 5 verse 14, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth to worship. I'm saying this carefully, but I sometimes get so weary of, like, Christian labeling things called worship. You know, like Worship Fest 2017, and there's some guy on the cover like that. And I'm thinking, like, maybe I can't judge this guy. I don't even know him. You know, maybe he's just some marketing tool from the internet and he's on the cover. But worship is a bowing down. It's a surrendering of all our rights and everything we think we deserve. And if the surrendering is maybe authentic, maybe that's the word I'll say, if the surrendering is real, legitimate, then all of heaven comes down to meet our need in that moment. And there is an increase, and there's a resurrection. Hi, Dave. Are you looking for your brother? It's good to see you, Dave. All of heaven comes down and meets us when there is a surrendering. Isn't this worship? It's an exchange. It's not just a pose or it's not just a song. It's a complete surrendering of our lives to God. This is worship. Prayer and meditation don't have to be long, but they can be. An evening of prayer, an afternoon of prayer, a lunch hour of prayer, eating quickly at our desk so we can then take an hour to pray. If we can't eat at our desk, eating quickly in the cafeteria so that we can then spend 50 minutes to pray. Rising up before the dawn to pray. I remember when my kids were babies, it was crazy trying to have a prayer life. Does anyone have babies? Little kids? No, if you have babies, you're probably home taking care of your baby right now. But sometimes we get up in the middle of the night. Often my best times of prayer are because the very normal time of prayer I wanted to have the day before was a disaster. Like, let's say Wednesday morning I plan to have this perfect 6 to 6:45 devotional with the herbal tea and the Bible. Favorite herbal tea in the Bible. And it's a disaster. Everything goes wrong. And now it's Thursday. And I wanted to do it at lunchtime. That was plan B. And then something happened at work and that didn't happen. And then there was some obligation at night. And then I was so tired at night that I tried to pray and I fell asleep by my bed. Can anyone relate to this or is it just me? Now it's Thursday. So now it's really going to, now it's Thursday is going to be excellent. And then it happens again. Now it's Thursday, 3 o'clock, and I'm kind of going like this. And you know, my brother in Christ wants a word, and I'm just going da 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 da, and I don't have. There's nothing coming because I'm not fresh spiritually. That's where I often get, or has happened, where I'm just desperate. I've got to find some time with God. So that's when maybe I'll just get up in the middle of the night, or make myself take a long walk before I go to bed. This is just what works for me. Does anyone do those kinds of things? Like just, this isn't working. This has to work. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And isn't that the definition of faith? What is it? It is impossible to please God without faith, right? Because, how does it go? God blesses those who diligently... That's it. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently doesn't mean that you necessarily have more fortitude than others. Some people will say, oh, you're so gifted in prayer. You have such a gift of faith and you're so good at that. Oh, you're amazing. That's a way of saying, I don't really feel like it and I think you're nice. So keep doing your thing and I'll just be in the flesh for a while. In a way, right? It could be. But we've all been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That means this Christian victory is for us. It's ours for the taking. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Isn't that what it means? 1 Corinthians 3, there's a verse where it talks about don't glory in men, because people were really, there were factions in the church. We're of Paul, we're of Apollos, we're of Cephas. And he was like, don't glory in men. All things are yours. So in a sense, God is saying this life of devotion, this prayer life, deep calling to deep, it's for you. And you can walk in this as much as you want. Is fasting for those who are good at it? Do you have to be a Muslim to fast once a year for a month? No, no. Fasting can be a great way to pray and meditate. Phenomenal. I don't think God is pleased by the absence of food. I don't think that the torture and the irritation that comes to us when we don't have food somehow pleases God. Like he's saying, oh, awesome. It's been 3 days. Look, they're like foaming at the mouth. I'm going to send them a blessing. I don't think it's that. But I think it's what fasting does for us. Amy Carmichael said fasting is great because the chatter that goes on at lunchtime, you know, the kind of the lunch social. You know, she was in a community with a lot of other Christian workers and there were kids everywhere. And she said, fasting is great because all the social chatter and interaction that happens at lunchtime isn't going to happen because you're not eating lunch. So it's just us and God. It's just us and God. We do what we have to do. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I love this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. To be spiritually minded is life and it's life and peace, right? To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So prayer isn't a drudgery. I remember this one woman, she was really sweet. She said, I tried to meditate on the cross and I got a headache. I pictured her going, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. I don't think that's meditation. This morning, I was reading Romans chapter 8. I'll just quickly turn to the passage before we close. Is this practical? Is this helping? All right. I just prayed that this would be practical. Romans chapter 8. And Pastor Schaller preached on Romans 6 about how sin takes advantage of the law to bring death into our lives back in, maybe it was January. It really touched my heart and it just caused me to dig into these chapters, Romans 6, Romans 7. Now I'm on Romans 8. Isn't it great to just have a book and you just kind of keep reading? I mean, a book in the Bible, it's wonderful. You just keep reading. And there's no law that says when we have to leave a passage. Remember I was talking about how Psalm 27 touched my heart years ago when I was on the mission field in France? I remember just loving that psalm and just, and I felt like I should go on to the next one because I was done. And I felt like God was saying, why do you have to leave? Just stay there. We could stay with a verse for 2 months. Seriously. We could do word by word or just read it. Try and read it differently every day until the light dawns. Okay, Romans chapter 8. And what I was reading this morning was right here in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Isn't that amazing? The spirit of adoption is a spirit of prayer. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And this is the verse that really touched my heart this morning in my room. For I consider, it was after the dog walk, by the way. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It was those two words this morning. And I felt like it was my rhema for the day. The glory that shall be revealed in us. Meditation is amazing because even though it seems like we're... Have you ever said this? I read the Bible today and I didn't get anything out of it. Have you ever felt that? You don't have to admit anything, but I'm just asking. Have you ever felt... I've felt that way. Have you ever felt like your glorious filet mignon devotional was more like soggy Rice Krispies? So soggy, there wasn't even a trace of a snap, crackle, and pop. Have you ever felt that way? But there was still nourishment coming from the Rice Krispies. It got you through the morning. Yeah, and maybe God has the amazing filet mignon, sarmaluza, that's Romanian stuffed cabbage. God has this, maybe God has this amazing meal around the corner. Meditation is amazing. So God gives us words. He gives us passages. God is for us. He wants to lead us on in prayer and meditation. So with that in mind, let's pray. Lord, we know that this battle in which we find ourselves is not anything to be taken lightly. And that the souls of men and women are at stake. And that the spiritual health of our own souls is at stake. Lord, I pray that we would prosper and be in good health as our souls prosper. And Father, we know that our souls will prosper as we give ourselves to the meditation of your word. Like in Psalm 1, I pray that we would delight in it, so we would be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bears fruit in its season, whose leaf doesn't wither. Lord, you bring prosperity to our lives. Thank you, Lord, that the sufferings, the confusions of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us, Lord. I pray that we would see the fruit of our prayer and meditation in heaven and here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.